Welcome to the Back Asswards podcast. We are the Back Asswards boys. I'm Kyle. I use he, they pronouns. And joining me from our beautiful Colorado studio is Arden.
And I use he, him pronouns.
Tonight, guys, gals, and envy pals, I am doing it. I'm finishing our series on JFK with part 10, Camelot, part 2.
It's done. It's over. We're done after this. And here's the thing. Honestly, like me and Kyle have been saying, like, oh, we're so ready to be done with JFK, so ready to end the series. But honestly, this series is wonderful. Maybe we'll talk about it more at the end. What a special thing. I'm so happy that we did this. I'm very excited to wrap it up for that reason as well.
Exactly. And little special thing, I guess this is a peek behind the curtains because we obviously record things ahead of time a little bit here. But we are actually recording this on the third anniversary of our soft launch of the Back Asswards podcast. The first day we ever uploaded an episode was today, 3 years ago. So, and we're wrapping up our officially biggest series yet. So I thought, some pretty cool symmetry there, you know?
Yeah.
So happy anniversary, Arden. Thanks for doing this with me. And thank you guys so much for listening.
I'm so happy to be doing this. I'm glad that the podcast is still going. And uploading this 3 years ago was awesome. And I can't wait to keep on doing more.
Yeah. But guys, just because it's the end of the series does not mean that we're not going to be listing our sources, right? And as always,
who do you think we changed that much?
We didn't like the CIA before. We still don't like the CIA. It's fine. Everything is fine. Okay, guys.
No,
it's okay.
Nothing has fundamentally changed, folks.
So I used Wikipedia's pages on reactions to the assassination of John F. Kennedy and the state funeral of John F. Kennedy. I also used an article from CNN called How Did Kennedy's Assassination Change the World? I used an article from the Wall Street Journal titled How JFK's Secrets Fed Conspiracy Culture. And I used an article from OxfordOpenLearning.co.uk titled Why is the Assassination of JFK Such a Significant Historical Event? But obviously, you guys, we are not scholars, and we are probably going to get some things wrong.
I mean, not only in this episode, but in the Back Asswards Stance episode, we might, get some things wrong about a case that is oversaturated with disinformation. So please, please understand that that's what this is.
Oh, and you think the disinformation stops? With his death? No. No.
For real. I always felt like Babushka Lady was like a post-mortem thing. You know what I mean? Like it was always like... Yeah. No, I'm joking.
You got me with that. I'm not gonna lie. And we are also not linguists, and we are probably going to say some things wrong, like believing that our podcast partner could possibly be... That's fucking stupid, even for a second.
Yeah. Yeah.
Normally we get these giggles out before we start. We really jumped into it.
Oof. Oh my god, yeah.
Now, hold on to your asses, because things are about to get backwards.
It is the end of a literal era on this show.
Yeah.
And I am so excited to wrap this up for so many reasons. And Kyle has done such a great job. I can't wait to see how this ends. Let's get right into it.
However the details laid themselves out, and whether or not you choose to believe those details, on November 22nd, 1963, Jack Kennedy was fatally shot in front of the world. The state funeral of U.S. President John F. Kennedy took place in Washington, D.C. during the 3 days that followed his assassination on Friday, November 22, 1963, in Dallas, Texas. Kennedy's body was brought back to Washington after the assassination and postmortem. Early on November 23, six military pallbearers carried the flag-draped coffin into the East Room of the White House, where he lay in repose for 24 hours. Then his flag-draped coffin was carried on a horse-drawn carriage to the Capitol to lie in state. Throughout the day and night, hundreds of thousands of people lined up to view the guarded casket, with a 250,000 passing through the rotunda during the 18 hours that he lied in state.
Wow.
Logistics of that is fucking insane. Have you ever been to DC?
Yes, I have.
The Capitol Rotunda?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's big. But
it's very big.
Getting a 250,000 people through there in 18 hours?
Yes. That is insane.
Mm-hmm. That is insane.
Like, it does take a world-shattering event for something like that to happen, you know?
Mm-hmm. Kennedy's funeral service was held on November 25th at St. Matthew's Cathedral. The Requiem Mass was led by Cardinal Richard Crushing. About 1,200 guests, including representatives from over 90 different countries, attended. And after the service, Kennedy was buried at Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia, where an eternal flame has burned since this day.
I mean, again, like, just the impact of this moment is so significant. It's like what we've been saying, like, it affected millions, perhaps billions of people when this happened.
Yeah, and it's really difficult to overestimate or even just overstate the shock and sadness that captivated America in November of 1963. The murder of their young president, his beautiful wife, tearful and bloodstained. Remember, let them see what they have done to my boy, right? Literally brains on her dress when she's getting these photos taken.
Yeah.
And even the famous, I don't know if we talked about it too much during the series, but the incredibly famous picture of Bobby Kennedy saluting his coffin at the funeral. Like, there were so many images from this.
Mm-hmm. And again, to kind of go back to what Kyle was saying at the beginning of this series in Camelot Part 1, is the Kennedy presidency was a very visual presidency. Had a lot of eyes on him all the time.
He was the first TV president. Yeah.
Correct. So it was always about image. It was always about what they were doing and how they looked and how they looked when they were doing what they were doing, mm-hmm. and blah, 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 et cetera, right? And so very important to remember that in this instance.
And it's also important to remember it was kind of a 1-2 punch. We lost Kennedy, and then 2 days later, Kennedy's alleged mm-hmm. assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald, while being transferred between prisons, was shot by Jack Ruby. And so we'd lost any chance of closure just two days later.
Yes.
And the television cameras were, again, there only to capture the prison transfer instead of broadcast Oswald's murder live to an incredulous American republic. Ruby told the police, quote,
"I did it for Jackie Kennedy, see?"
Which,
yeah.
Believe what you want.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm going to try not to be too bitter.
Yeah. Fair enough. It's the last one. That's what he said. That is what he said.
He did say it.
He did
that
say that.
Quote. Shortly after the funeral, Jackie gave an interview in which she described her husband's presidency as similar to Camelot, a beautiful, magical time. One immediate consequence of this shocking murder was that Kennedy became idealized in American culture and history. It took a while for historians to be able to look back objectively and assess his legacy without being blinded by hagiography.
Right, because I mean, like, even in, like, history classes, and I don't know how it is now, obviously, but, like, this is pretty much what you learn about JFK is, like, it was a super influential time. He was, like, this wonderful, wonderful man who was a wonderful president, and, like, he got assassinated in the line of duty, and it's a damn shame, is pretty much what you learn about in school.
Yeah.
At least that's what I learned, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, you don't really get into the minutiae of, like, what Jack Kennedy's presidency really was. Like, it is, like...
Or what it was going to be.
It really does feel like exactly like what you were just saying, a mystical time in American history. It's really interesting to put it that way. I never really thought about it like that mm-hmm. until this series, really.
Yeah, and it almost feels like we were in this magical kind of haze until like Reagan, almost, you know?
And to be fair to the time period that this is taking place in, there were a lot of things that were happening in this era, particularly in the 60s, that were super important to United States history that we're not necessarily going to talk about right now. But that was also something that was happening. The nation was changing and shifting and stuff like that.
Perfect segue. In his last few months, Kennedy had become interested in the civil rights movement. Lyndon B. Johnson, who was sworn in as the president in the harrowing hours after Kennedy's death, promised that he would use Kennedy's legacy to introduce equality legislation. The far-reaching Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965 were both passed in part as a result of the groundswell of political sympathy generated by Kennedy's assassination. At least some historians, including this one, would argue that, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people also argue that it was going to happen anyway, which, sure, but, like, it helped. It absolutely helped, you know?
Like, John Kennedy laying the groundwork definitely helped, yes.
John F. Kennedy's death was shocking. Not just because it was the senseless assassination of a young husband and father, but because it was the first murder played out in Technicolor for the entire world to see. This is why an entire generation was united by the question, where were you when you heard about JFK? We talked about that a little bit in the last episode, right?
Exactly.
It's very similar to put it in a modern audience's perspective. It's the exact same question as where were you when on 9/11, you know?
Yep.
It's the exact same question.
Mm-hmm.
The collective memory of the Kennedy assassination is one of anger and suspicion. Our prosthetic memory, fashioned from media depictions that kept up November 22nd, 1963, playing on a constant Kodachrome vibrant loop, has only been calcified in that unease. This cynicism has in turn shaped how we see ourselves. The art the assassination inspired nurtured a culture of mistrust whose influence has grown only more mainstream. Today, the details, who killed Kennedy and why, are almost beside the point. The story has a life of its own, and we can't seem to stop telling it. If we've spent much of the past 60 years viewing the Kennedy assassination through any particular window, it's the one into Oliver Stone's mind. In 1991, the postmodernist movie maker came to Dallas to make JFK, a film that is part political thriller, part nervous breakdown, and by and large, the most influential version of the story since the Warren Commissions. JFK, the movie's success, which is insane, it racked in more than $200 million at the box office and 8 Oscar nominations. It angered those who abhorred its frenetic blend of fact and fabrication, yet its impact as a counter-myth, to quote Stone, remains undeniable. As Roger Ebert, one of the many JFK champions, wrote, quote,
"This is not a film about the facts of the assassination, but about the feelings."
And it's very true. There were multiple moments, almost in every single episode, that I had to go back and look at something and be like, was this what happened, or was this just what happened in Roger Stone's JFK?
Right.
people take it as like a straight up documentary. And
right.
It's not. It's a great film.
Mm-hmm.
Not a documentary.
No. Because, like, if you're making a documentary about JFK, you are making documentaries about aspects of JFK's story. You know what I mean? First and foremost. But, like, I really do understand, like, the emotional release aspect of this, like, for the people of the United States of America, especially at the time, even in 1991 when this movie was released, like, again, kind of like what you were just saying before, like even in the aftermath of JFK's assassination, there's still like this mysticism. There's still like this, like, you know, what's really going on? Like, and I can't speak for this because I definitely was not alive at the time. But like, I wonder if it's another one of those, like, kind of like, again, to bring it to a modern sense, I hope I explain this okay, but is it kind of like COVID in the sense of like we all suffered this like trauma and there's an aspect of it that's still like not yet been addressed, and like there's this emotional quality to that because it was so traumatizing to the nation. You kind of understand what I'm saying, Kyle?
No, I think that's more than fair to say.
Mm.
Yeah.
COVID is just the closest thing I could think of, folks. Obviously, a lot more people died during COVID. You understand what I'm saying?
And for anyone grappling with a world beyond their control, conspiracy theories can be soothing. James Pennebaker, professor emeritus of psychology at the University of Texas at Austin and a pioneer in the field of writing therapy, likens them to journal entries for trauma victims, saying, quote,
"When we're dealing with something that's unresolved, our minds automatically try to resolve it," which is something that we've talked about on this show before. It's one of the reasons why humans are the way that we are. It's one of the ways that we evolved. It's one of the reasons why we've survived as long as we have, is because we can create a beginning, a middle, and an end in our minds in a scenario. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But that can be very dangerous, as I'm sure we're going to continue to talk about.
And Pennebaker is no fan of Stone's film, but still he understands why JFK resonated with anyone who needed to assign meaning to the chaos. He said, quote,
"It constructed a conspiracy theory that was really digestible, that gets into this collective memory of the government cannot be trusted." Again, like, which I understand. I mean, we kind of talked about this in JFK Part 9. Like, if you pair the JFK assassination and the confusion and the frustration and the fishiness around it with MK Ultra, which was going on at the time, it is a very, very scary situation to be in. And I can understand why the people at the time and still to this day would have doubts about that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? And question that.
Mm-hmm. More than scapegoats, JFK offered the seductive illusion that by uncovering the truth, we could right the wrongs of history. We'd suffered under this delusion since at least 1964, when Dallas's self-proclaimed Schlockmeister, Larry Buchanan, director of Z-grade fare, including Mars Needs Women, dreamed up the trial of Lee Harvey Oswald. Since then, we've pinned Kennedy's death on comic book supervillains such as Red Skull and Magneto, or on the X-Files cigarette-smoking man, or leaped through time to rescue him in episodes of The Twilight Zone, and even in novels and TV adaptations of those novels, like Stephen King's 11/22/63.
Damn. Yeah, for real. It really captivated us, didn't it?
These fictions reflect our surprisingly resilient grief, if not for the Kennedy specifically, then for some part of ourselves that believes that we can still be the heroes. As the Washington Post's Anne Hornaday pointed out, Stone's JFK arrived the same year as the World Wide Web, a convergence that would essentially gamify the assassination, giving newly minted conspiracy hobbyists, such as me, endless rabbit holes to tumble down.
Damn, I've never felt so fucking read by an outline before. Oh my God, what the hell? Popping off.
The assassination has even been adapted into video games, not just as a subplot in titles like Call of Duty Black Ops, but in 2004's JFK Reloaded, where as a first-person shooter, you could try your hand at killing Kennedy.
Ooh, I never heard of that before. That's crazy.
You literally get points based off of how close to the Warren Commission's timeline of events you get things.
Wow.
Yeah.
More propaganda. I see.
Carrie Anderson, who studied JFK assassination-related games while completing her PhD at UT Austin, understands that most people's reaction to something like JFK Reloaded would be rightfully dismay and disgust. Nevertheless, she says that the mere act of challenging an official narrative, even through a video game, can give us a rare agency over history. She said, quote,
"The morbidity of seeing the Kennedy assassination in a video game, I don't think that's going away anytime soon. But there is something powerful about being able to put yourself in a historical figure's shoes. Man, they really are psychologists, aren't they? They're like really detaching emotion from this and trying to be like, what is going on here?
And the creator of the game even defends it by saying it's not like a morbid curiosity thing. It's literally one of the world's largest open source proving grounds of data, right? Because you are getting judged off of proving this relatively improvable data.
Right, exactly. And like it's a coping mechanism, you know what I mean? Which is very interesting.
Arden, one source that we have listed and used several times over the course of this series would be the Sixth Floor Museum in Dealey Plaza, which was the Texas School Book Depository that got then remade into a museum based on the assassination.
Right.
And it's really, really cool. They have kind of like literally recreated the sniper's nest, right? At least with like replicas, you know, the real cardboard boxes were taken for evidence, obviously, but they've gone and with photos and witness accounts and everything, to the best of their ability, have completely recreated the scene on that day.
Wow.
Even the window is a copy, though. The original was removed by one of the building's previous owners, but the windows were replaced with touchscreens, and so you can see like CGI recreations of what it would look like for the motorcade to be passing through the window, right? So again, you can put yourself in the shoes. And it's so weird because they go through all of this trouble of putting yourself in Oswald's shoes, and then they make Kennedy this featureless blob, like a Lego head, you know? And it's really... it's weird, you know, because it's...
That is weird.
Why would you go to that length of recreating it and not go the last foot, I guess, you know? Maybe I'm too morbid and too...
I don't think that you're too morbid. I was going to say, like, the only thing that I can really think of is, like, do they really need to be... or want to show JFK's brains getting blown out? Like,
I'm not saying they need like frame fucking 313 of the Zapruder film, but like,
you know, his face is not even there.
No, yeah, it's very weird.
That is interesting. Kind of just like, oh, you want to know? Okay, here's something funny for you. Think about it this way. That's the clip that they were like, when the presidential motorcade for ex-president comes in and we have ex-communist shooter that we can pin this on, right?
Right.
The theory that we were talking about. This is what it'll look like. That was just their stock video, the CIA stock video.
From the day before.
Yeah, when we kill the president at Dealey Plaza. Doesn't matter which president. Doesn't matter which communist shooter it is.
Oh my God. So they could just Photoshop his face on there.
Yeah, exactly. Whichever president it is. Whichever president it needs to be.
Oh, God. One of the main attractions of the Sixth Floor Museum is a model of Dealey Plaza that was used by the Warren Commission, showing every building in the plaza.
Mm.
And it's interesting because by all accounts of everybody who's kind of been through the museum that I've read, at least... it all seems like distinctly sanitized and artificial. And a lot of people say that that is by design. Because a lot of people in Dallas did not want the Sixth Floor Museum to happen.
Yeah.
In 1988, a year before it opened, James Pennebaker co-authored a study that revealed how rates of murder, suicide, and heart disease had spiked among Dallasites in the year after the assassination. Local luminaries, including Tom Laundry and Mary Kay Ash, called for the school book depository to be completely leveled, and arsonists tried to do it twice.
Wow.
Dallas had a collective memory of shame. And even 25 years later, Pennebaker had found that 79% of Dallas natives still believed that the world held them responsible.
Oh, that is assassination. That is actually unironically so sad.
Yeah. Because, like, Dallas had nothing to do with it. This could have happened just as easily in fucking Salt Lake City, Utah, you know?
Yeah, anywhere. Dude, and maybe we'll take this out. Maybe I'll save this for the end. But, like, this is another reason why the CIA doing this, like, really actually fucking bothers me and actually makes me really upset. Because, like, these people give a fuck. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they cared. And they didn't want this to happen. And the CIA facilitated this and made this happen. Like, it's so fucking, such bastard behavior, dude. I hate it. It's not fair.
And because of that, the Sixth Floor Museum remains hypersensitive about reopening any of those wounds. They've even gone as far as being criticized for being too careful.
Oh, wow.
And while, as I was kind of saying, you know...
Yeah, with, like, the blurring of JFK's face and shit.
But while the museum remains tastefully above the fray, the street below tells a very different story. More recently, Dealey Plaza has been invaded by increasingly outlandish groups. Dozens of QAnon conspiracists gathered there in 2021 to await the resurrection of Kennedy's also long-dead son, JFK Jr., and maybe even some of them were saying President Kennedy himself was going to get resurrected and that they would then return to help Donald Trump take back the White House. Our deep state paranoia has become so quaintly old hat that today's conspiracy theorists are asking not who killed Kennedy, but whether or not he was even killed at all. A look at Google Trends data shows that the staying power of the topic on American minds. Search data going all the way back to 2004 indicates that interest in the topic surpasses interest in more recent political events, including the Watergate scandal and Bill Clinton's impeachment. Both episodes in the future, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Both series in the future.
And compared to those two topics, the JFK assassination has been a bigger source of interest in 49 out of 50 states. Only in Maryland did Watergate slightly score higher than the assassination as a topic of interest, which...
Honestly, fair. Yeah, fair.
And for the record, Watergate also scored much higher in the District of Columbia because... probably that's where the Watergate scandal actually happened, you know?
Yeah, yeah. There's a correlation and a causation there.
For sure.
But this is, are we going to talk about all the bullshit that comes along with conspiracy at the end?
I don't have a thing for it specifically, but let's talk about it now. Let's talk about it now. Let's do it. Now's the time.
I mean, what I wanted to say is that what Kyle just said in these last couple paragraphs of this outline is truly one of the most dangerous things about conspiracy and why it is so hard to talk about it and why you have to be careful with where you source your information from. It doesn't matter if you're doing a podcast. It doesn't matter if you're researching it on your own. It doesn't matter what the hell you're doing it for. It is so important to have some form of literacy when it comes to these types of things. Not saying that you have to get smarter, not saying that you aren't smart, you know what I mean? But you just have to be careful because some of these things, especially nowadays, when you look into conspiracy theories, they do have an ulterior motive, mostly just trying to get you to buy something. And it can be a very, very dangerous road to go down. Particularly what you said in the outline about people wondering whether or not John F. Kennedy was even assassinated, when it is something that is so clearly what happened. You know what I mean? The same thing with and again, if we're talking about the ladder of conspiracies that you go down, like denying things that have happened, very akin to like Holocaust denial, is very, very dangerous. You have to have a certain amount of literacy to know that that happened. And if someone is saying that it didn't happen, I'm sorry to tell you, they're very much off the deep end.
Yeah. Yeah.
The last stop on that is flat Earth, as we've joked about and also very seriously have talked about on this show.
Yeah.
Conspiracy is hard. You have to be careful with where you get your information, what you source your information from. And what have we said the whole series? It's important to talk about what you know and what you think you know.
Yes. I can't tell you the number of sources for this series that I had to just completely throw out. Because I would get two-thirds down the article, and all of a sudden, they're talking about fucking QAnon, and they're talking about, you know, altcoins, and they're talking about lizard people, and all of these buzzwords. And it's... We talk about it a bit more in our wrap-up episode, but it was very scary to see how quickly, while researching this, the like fascist alt-right conspiracy pipeline really tried to suck me in, because it can be really dangerous, and you just have to be really careful, which is part of why we talk about these things on this show, is that not that we're some paragon of truth and knowledge in the world, but if we can even help you see how to ask the right questions when interacting in this space. Because this can be a really cool space. It can be a really entertaining space.
It can be a really benign space to be in.
Absolutely. But it can also very quickly become slippery. So just be careful, you know? And I'll get off my soapbox there. But just be careful and use a little bit of critical thinking when interacting with this stuff, for sure.
We did not lead you down a pipeline, folks. We were just fucking around and having fun. All of JFK.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of weight. Kyle did a lot of really good research, but there's not a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Especially not to our opinions.
No, but a lot of people put weight behind their opinions. Most Americans doubt that they know the real story of what happened November 22nd, 1963. More than 60% believe that gunman Lee Harvey Oswald did not act alone, and they have been that way since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Gallup has tracked the Kennedy conspiracy question since the day of the shooting. A poll taken immediately after the murder found that 52% of Americans believed that others were involved in a conspiracy, while only 29% thought that Oswald acted alone. But by 1966, it did seem like the country was starting to walk away from that idea a little bit. The conspiracy number had dropped to 50%, and the Oswald figure had climbed to around 36%. But by December of 1976, 10 years later, the conspiracy number had jumped to 81% in the Gallup data. There are likely a few reasons for that spike. The film of the assassination taken by Abraham Zapruder became public in 1975, and that helped lead to the 1976 creation of the HSCA, which investigated the deaths of John Kennedy and Martin Luther King.
I am so sorry. They investigated Martin Luther King's assassination.
Have I not mentioned that in all 10 parts of this series?
Are you telling me that the HSC fucking A investigated MLK's assassination?
Yeah, it was the House Select Committee on Assassinations. Plural.
I'm a huge dumbass. You probably mentioned it, and I just
genuinely
forgot.
I probably did not, honestly. No, okay. They absolutely... hey, guys, episode 10, new character.
Martin Luther King, I guess. Dude, okay, here's the thing. Back assword stands for MLK's assassination. The HSCA lied about it, okay? That's what I'm assuming happened. Oh my word.
Before we even get to that episode in probably another 50 episodes here.
I think that
maybe what? Maybe sooner.
Wow, our 10-part JFK series is going to be great groundwork for our MLK series.
And then Bobby Kennedy. This is all leading to Bobby Kennedy.
For real. Oh my God. Ooh. You guys don't even know how important, how instrumental Bobby Kennedy is.
Sorry, I totally dropped the ball on that.
No, you did not. I think that that was the perfect moment for that to happen, honestly.
Oh my God.
I have such a fundamental distrust with the HSCA at this point.
Yeah, you thought we were done talking about the HSCA? Oh, no, 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 no.
Just like I thought we were done talking about Alan Dulles. Never,
never
going to
be talking about
that,
Alan Dulles, dude. But whatever the reason, whether it's the Zapruder film or the bullshit, the obvious bullshit of the HSCA.
The end of MK Ultra also.
Also, yes. But whatever the reason, the conspiracy figure has always stayed relatively high in the Gallup data ever since, not dropping below 74% for decades.
Wow.
The latest numbers from Gallup from a 2013 survey taken to mark the 50th anniversary showed a 61% rate for Americans believing the assassination was conspiracy, while 30% believe that Oswald acted alone.
Wow.
And to kind of confirm the Gallup poll numbers, a new survey from 538 released relatively recently finds that 61% believe that others were involved in JFK's assassination, and 33% believed that one man acted alone.
But not specifically Oswald. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. But the most interesting finding of the 538 poll is the breadth of the nation's JFK conspiracy beliefs. More than 50% of almost every single demographic group believes that others were involved in the assassination. Men, women, white, black, Hispanic, registered voters, and non-registered voters across all age groups.
And honestly, and this is something that I'll say before you get into this next section here, is like, this is something that I walked into this series feeling pretty secure in. I don't know if you folks remember, but like 10 weeks ago, Kyle asked me in Camelot Part 1, like, hey, well, like right now, what do you think happened to JFK? And I said something along the lines of like, I can't rule out that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. I do think that that is very plausible, right? This is something that has absolutely changed over the course of this series. That aspect of what I thought in Camelot Part 1 has, it's non-existent anymore. And I feel like the reason for that is because there's so many compelling arguments the other way from Lee Oswald being the only shooter that, like, even if I approach it from like a conspiracy theory, like if I wanted to approach this academically as academically a conspiracy theorist can approach this, you can't rule out these incredibly good arguments for Lee Oswald not being the shooter or not being the only shooter. You know what I mean? It is incredible to me that people could think that at this point now in the series.
Yeah. And in an era where the political divides appear in everything from media consumption to shopping habits, the JFK assassination is one area where supporters of President Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton agree. 61% of Trump voters and 59% of Clinton voters believe that others were involved.
Wow.
The one standout demographic that believes Oswald acted alone, according to this 538 poll, is college-educated white people. And the numbers are very close, with 48% saying one man killed JFK and 46% saying that others were involved.
I don't know if I'm going to leave this in, but that is so much main character syndrome coming out right there. Fucking college-educated white people being like, I can do it. I could do it. So yep. My fellow white college-educated man could also do it.
Yeah. Yep.
Come on. Yep. Guys, come on. Come on.
And bearing those numbers in mind, last year's releases of documents seemed to offer the possibility that the citizenry would have its thirst for JFK assassination knowledge quenched, that there would be a final answer to what most Americans consider a great unsolved mystery. But just like every other single fucking release of documents about this, that hope was quickly dashed. As many predicted, there were no smoking guns proving a conspiracy theory in the files, and word soon surfaced that some of the documents were held back still, which of course led even more fire to the conspiracy believers to allege a cover-up is continuing.
Well, yeah, I mean, they do this all the time. Like, a FOIA comes out, and they don't release everything. They only release some things. And then it's like 20 years until they grant the next FOIA and they only release some things. And it's super annoying.
And it's
they
all do it super all heavily redacted anyways. Oh, and
yeah. And again, like, we got as much as we did out of MKUltra because of a filing mistake that those dumbasses made. You know what I mean? And like, there was so much information that was redacted on that. And we still have all the shit from that. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, like, that doesn't mean that we should give up trying. That doesn't mean that we don't, you know, continue to try to figure this out, you know. It's not that we don't deserve to know what the hell happened, right?
No.
But the process is going to be the process, and it will continue to be frustrating.
Yeah. More than 60 years after President Kennedy's assassination, more than 60% of Americans believe the conspiracy was behind the event. That's 60%. In a country that cannot offer a majority for, like, anything.
Literally anything.
At this point, questioning the lone gunman theory of the JFK assassination has become ingrained in our national culture. It's as American as apple pie. And beliefs like those are hard to change. And that, my dear, dear friends, is the life, death, and the legacy of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. I hope I was able to muddy the waters for you all just a little bit more. I specifically, and Arden, sincerely, genuinely appreciate you coming on this absolutely buck wild journey with us. Arden, thank you for letting me take you on this journey. Thank you for letting me melt your brain just repeatedly over the last 2.5-3 months now we've been working on this.
You're welcome.
It's been so much fun. I know, like you've said at the beginning, we've joked about being ready to be done with this series. And on one level I was, but on another level I really was not. I could have talked about this for another 10 episodes. So as far as final thoughts on this topic go, as we've mentioned.
First and foremost, Professor Kyle, I have to say, before you just go past the part where I compliment you for about a minute and a half, okay? Professor Kyle, you have done such an amazing job on this series. I cannot tell you, like, and again, and we get into this in our back assward stance a little bit, but like, doing a series like this is so difficult for the person who is doing the research and the person who is doing the presenting. Like, Kyle has two under their belt now with MK Ultra and JFK. And I just have the one with Jonestown. And Jonestown was a goddamn marathon for me. And I was losing my mind. And so I know how it feels. I know how hard doing a series like this is. You did such an amazing job. I have to thank you for doing all of the work that you have done on this series. Like, it is so special to be a part of a podcast. It's cool to be on a podcast that has a 10-part series, and you are the reason that that happened the way that it did. You did such an amazing job. I think we all owe you a round of applause. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Very nice work.
Thank you.
Outline and all of them. I don't have a page count. I don't have a word count. What's going on? It's the end of the series.
I didn't. I came in at 246.
246 pages?
Yeah.
Oh,
I didn't get a word count on that, but yeah.
Written words? I mean, do you want to do it right now? I'll help you.
Yeah, let's fucking do it. Let's see.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
22,392.
Including the 18,509 from 6 through 10. That puts us at 40,901 words. That is a novel.
Are you for real, dude?
Oh boy.
Oh, all wow. Right. So there you have it, folks.
222 pages, 40,901 words, and I am only a little bit more sure that the CIA killed JFK. Still not 100%. So as far as the Backcast Word stance goes, as we've mentioned, we're going to be releasing a little bonus episode on the main show here. That's just going to be me and Arden talking about the entire series and kind of most everything that we talked about in the series.
It'll be coming out soon, too. Yeah. Like, from when this episode is released, it'll probably come out like the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday area. So just keep your eyes out for that as well.
Yeah. But and I can't say it enough. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. And thank you for listening to this series. You can subscribe and review if you are enjoying the show. And if you think someone else will enjoy the show, please share it with them. It would be so, so swag of you.
Yeah, because as you well know, word of mouth is the best way to spread that the Backasswards podcast has officially concluded their 10-part series on the assassination of the 35th president of the United States, former U.S. president John Fitzgerald the motherfucking Kennedy. And you know that a podcast that operates like that and acts like that is your favorite podcast.
If you're enjoying the show, you can check out our previous episodes for more. I would recommend our episode on... I'm going to recommend a deep classic cut. I'm going to say check out Bloody Mary.
That is way back in the archives. Episode 5, I believe it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a great episode. That was a really fun one. It was a baby episode. We were just getting started. We were having so much fun. We were giggling like little schoolgirls. It was really cute. It was really awesome.
We were still recording in my bedroom.
Kyle sent me a Snapchat memory a couple weeks ago that made me cry from this era. Go listen to those episodes. Those were really fun.
They were another era of the show.
They were. Yeah. We were baby podcasters.
You can follow me and Arden on Twitter. I am at BackassWordKyle. Arden is at Arden_Smith. And you can follow the podcast on all of your favorite social medias. On Twitter, at BackassWordsPod. TikTok, BackassWordsPod. Instagram, BackassWordsPod. On Facebook, search the BackassWords Podcast. And if you enjoy the show a ton and you want to help us keep the lights on, go ahead and support us over on Patreon. If you throw us just $5 a month, literally less than a cup of coffee now from fucking Starbucks,
for real.
Once a month you get 4 bonus shows every single month, once a week, every Wednesday. It's yours. You get to listen in if you pay us. Check it out. patreon.com/backasspod.
The Wednesday phenomenon. It's such a fun time. You should come on over there, folks.
We have a great time. I'm Kyle.
I'm Arden.
And we will see you next week. Unless your podcast host happens to forget to mention that the HSCA also investigated another insanely important and influential moment in American history for a, what was it, almost 14-hour-long series
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry.
And when your podcast host forgets to mention that to you, just make sure that as the podcast host who forgets to mention it, put it in the last part of your series so that your podcast co-host at least has a heads up so that you could stay safe.
And make sure that you immediately follow up your 10-part series with another 10-part series on another assassination so that you can stay weird. I'm just kidding. We're not doing that. I'm sorry.
We're not doing that. We're not doing that.
I need a break. I need a break.
We are
coming at you with some fucking heat in the next 2 months, though. Me and Narden just sat down and planned out our next few topics, and I'm so excited. I am so fucking excited, you guys.
2024 is the year, my friends. Stay safe. Stay weird. The danger is real, my friends. There are podcast episodes that will rock your fucking socks off coming in 2024. You have to stay safe. Please, please, no more new characters, Kyle. Please, please. Your laugh faded away from your microphone when you did that. That makes me uneasy.
Welcome to the Back Ass Words podcast.